everybody. Welcome to the 113th episode of MathCast. I'm your host, Christian.
And I'm your co-host, Levi.
And before we get started, just a quick reminder to please check out our Patreon if you want to get some cool exclusive benefits like access to our Discord and livecast. Currently, we're doing episodes on YouTube, and hopefully we'll start publishing those publicly. But for now, we're kind of still dialing that in.
Working out a few kinks.
Evidence of that is we started about an hour late today.
Imagine we bought a used yard hose. We're just kind of, you know, there's a few extra kinks than we're kind of used to. So it is what it is.
A few extra kinks, yeah. Neither one of us are proficient with OBS or Mac hardware, apparently. So either way, here we are. We're doing it now. So we got a banger-ass episode for you today.
Boy, do we.
There's a lot of good ones on this one. Several of these will undoubtedly be making my year-end list.
Spoiler alert. We got a few 8 and 9s on this bad boy.
100%.
Absolutely.
That being said, the first band that we're going to talk about is Weston Supermame. And Weston Supermame are a transatlantic mathcore progressive metal duo from London and Oregon. And they just dropped their debut full-length See You Tomorrow, Baby, which the band self-released on March 15th. And we covered their second EP, 180 Degree Murder, back in 2021, which I fucking love so much.
Released on Dark Tail Records.
And naturally, yeah, I helped release it, so a bit of a bias there, but yeah, I stand by that record. It's really, really good. And the second half of it, especially, I thought was just had a really nice crescendo behind it. And they've really just upped the ante with this new album in practically every way.
For anybody out there that is not aware of them yet, you know, we're going to say Car Bomb, right? On that kind of side, the pew-pew little thing going on.
There's yeah, 100%. And the way that they have this sound that's like the soundtrack to machines taking over mankind. There's just like this very mechanical, metallic sounding, like on the breakdown on Autistic Kill Trance, that like air horn like drop that just hits over and over again. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
The
Yeah.
That shit goes fucking insane. But at the same time, there's also this element of beauty and, you know, with the, like, melodicism with the crescendos that they inject in some of these tracks, like Slow Hell, which has a really nice, like, progressive metal solo that's really, like, laid back and sort of, like, restrained.
It's always kind of interesting when a band does this. I wouldn't call it a concept album, but, you know, when you have a full length like this and every track almost has a vocal feature or, you know, something that's, you know, we're kind of doing that with See You Next Tuesday last time in Serling as well.
Yeah, so it's we definitely like, browbeat Serling quite a bit.
Yeah,
for
the question is truly like, what is this? You know, like, what do you view this as? Is this just an album where you have a vocal like appearance on each one? It's just different. You know?
In my mind, I don't feel like this. They sacrificed anything by bringing in those features. It wasn't like the features are. The features are good, but they're not like the main fixture of the song. Like, the songs were not written necessarily around the features, I guess is what I'm saying, and they would still feel good without the features. Like, especially the Chad Capper feature, as much as I love him, like, if it had just been Seth's vocals and not Chad's, I would have loved it all the same. That last track, Perfect Meadows in Every Direction, which, what an amazing closer to this album, by the way. But yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. Those heavy grooves are very much on par with the shit that Car Bomb does and Meshuggah and Humanity's Last Breath, the way they do those just very long ring out kind of like breakdown sequences that are almost atmospheric and kind of like thall, I guess, in a way, like djenty.
I mean, this two piece is thick as fucking mud, you know? I mean, they definitely got the
low end.
Yeah, absolutely. They got the low end covered. The Frontier track I thought was really good. You definitely could tell vocal appearance there. He was like, oh, there he is. Like, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I feel like their first single, the Perfect Meadows in Every Dream.
Every Direction.
Every Dream? Every Direction?
Perfect Meadows in Every Direction.
Oh, right. It is. Yes. Sorry about that. Honestly, that was my favorite, and it was the first single. Kind of a unique first single, but I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it quite a bit, too. Again, a fantastic close to this album. I also like the title track, which is the opening track as well.
Yep.
They really kind of like bring in those more optimistic, kind of, I don't want to say pop, but sort of 80s kind of-ish. Like, literally the synth section from See You Tomorrow, Baby, reminded me of the synth section from Kid Cudi's The Pursuit of Happiness. I think I texted you that. It's like almost the same progression in like sonic palette behind those synthesizers. It's just a really unusual, almost out of pocket moment, but it works so fucking good.
Another unusual little piece, and we discussed this opening track. That little piece in the beginning that's from Pig Destroyer.
Yeah.
You know, and so just like,
by the way, we're going to use that monologue as well.
You slow down, but I kind of like it, you know, like to slow down a little Pig Destroyer and make it your own.
And it's, clearly it's, everyone knows. I mean, well, it's a nod.
It's a big nod.
What a profound nod, actually, to put that same sample in the beginning of your album. But yeah, for my money, Johnny Mnemonic, not Johnny Mnemonic, but Johnny Mnemonic was my favorite track. I mean, the whole like metric modulation and rhythmic fuckery really strong on tracks like that, Brute Fact and The Bare Maximum. Fucking great song titles, by the way, all
absolutely,
of those.
Absolutely.
No, they're like Modest Mouse song titles in a way, how they always present some sort of conundrum or contradiction.
I mean, I was not expecting this released. I didn't know they were cooking something up, you know. But overall, it's a solid drop.
So good. It's incredible. I mean, this is one of my favorite albums of the year so far.
I feel like, you know, like I was critiquing the vocal approaches being in almost every track. They don't stand out so much, like you were saying. So
the features, you mean?
Yeah.
The features, they're okay. I'm not taking away points for that, by the way. They're just not like, they weren't like a main feature for me coming into the album. I wasn't like really fixated on, you know, those appearances whatsoever. I was really just enjoying their original, you know, I was enjoying just the whole picture. I think this is a really, really good album. It's dark.
Production's amazing.
The production is great. It's dark, heavy, but also beautiful, expansive. I think that they just like took every element that made this project good and stretched it out into the lens of a full-length album. This is exactly what you want to hear out of a band's debut full-length. Super, super fucking good. Yeah, the only negative thing I have to say about it is, you know, the fact that the drums are programmed. It can be a bit mechanical at times, but
yeah.
In no way, once again, that's a very minor complaint that doesn't detract from my enjoyment.
It's not like it's like a fucking, like a, it's not like it sounds like a drum machine. You
no.
know what I'm saying? Like that kind of thing where it's like,
I mean, they're synthetic drums, but they're very well programmed.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah.
They're goddamn convincing.
We're not digi-grind blast beats here, you know what I'm saying? So,
like, if you listen to Frontier albums, then you will like this, because Frontier also, my understanding is that those drums are also synthetic.
They're fake.
I mean,
they're fuck. No, sorry.
they have an actual drummer live. And that's where it counts.
Oh, so they're a phony. Interesting. Oh, okay. Oh, huh. Man, I gotta say though,
it was hard to pick a favorite track for me.
But mine was The Perfect Meadows. That's
in every favorite. Direction.
Yep.
Excellent, excellent closer again. See You Tomorrow, Baby. Great opening. Autistic Kill Trance again. That air horn fucking drop in the breakdown is just insane. Johnny Mnemonic really getting those car bomb grooves there. Brute Fact was the track that I really kept going back to, because that the tempo switch ups are just absolutely insane on that one instrumental section. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Just really top notch shit. Also, Kryptonite Renegade, definitely giving strong Tony Danza on that track. And I'm not even mad about it. It was like they were channeling Yippie-Ki-Yay.
Yep. Love that shit, dude.
Yeah. Excellent, excellent. I'd give this a 9 out of 10 if I had to give it a rating.
Give it an 8.
Nice.
Yep. It's going on my list, though. It's going on the best of list. It's a contender. Just saying. You know.
Yeah, you will definitely see this on my list as well. That being said, I know you like Perfect Meadows, but I think Johnny Mnemonic is the track that we should give
him. No, you've dropped that about 3 times in this conversation. I think we should do Johnny Mnemonic.
It's really goddamn impressive. Either that or Brute Fact. Those are the two most like technically impressive songs in my book.
No, let's do Johnny. That's the Tony Danza one, right?
Kryptonite Renegade is the very Tony Danza-ish one.
Fuck, you got to pick it. You got to.
I say we give him Johnny Mnemonic.
There it is.
Don't make me say it again. I have to say it again now, so. All right. So we're going to play Johnny Mnemonic, which is track 4 from Weston Supermain's new full-length album, See You Tomorrow, Baby, which came out on March 15th. Here we go.
Right.
All right, so that was Johnny Mnemonic, which is track 4 from See You Tomorrow, Baby, which is Weston Supermame's new full-length album that came out on March 15th. So next, we're going to talk about the Sawtooth Grin. And the Sawtooth Grin hardly need an introduction at this point. They should hardly need one, rather.
You might want to pull your card if we need to explain this to you. I'm just saying.
So they're a mathcore, math grind outfit, if you will, from...
Yeah, elevator pitch me. What the Sawtooth Grin is, no.
They're originally from Montrose, New York, but I think now they're kind of sort of spread out between North Carolina and New York.
East Coasty.
Yeah. And they just dropped their new EP, Jabberwocky, on March 15th. We covered the band's comeback LP, Good, back in 2022, one of my favorite albums of the year.
Absolutely.
And they also played our 6th annual fest last year, Mathcore Index Fest 2023. And much like Good, this EP pulls and repurposes material from the 2011-2012 demos of the same name. And I just want to point out how miraculous it is. Not only do we have Sawtooth back, we have with what is probably the greatest comeback album in the history of the genre. They just keep the ball rolling with this new EP. Even if
the sound
it
hasn't changed.
I mean, yeah, it's like they're finishing up material that is more a decade old, but it still feels like fresh and exciting and just as like relevant. And they've managed to inject it with some like fresh ideas.
Something about Lombardi's voice that's so special is that it truly, when you listen to it now, you listen to the older stuff, it hasn't aged. It's just the same fucking beautiful Sawtooth Grin voice.
Yeah.
And I think especially with extreme music, it's a rarity these days where the homie from 20 years ago is still doing the same vocal range.
Especially,
you know
that,
saying?
Yeah, pulling out that same very high shriek high. The highest high in the game.
The highs. Yes.
I think everyone is pretty much, I mean, before him it was like John Chang, and now he's, I think, the master of that technique. Mm-hmm.
It's just overall, though, and then just to have so much back material that y'all didn't throw to the trash and actually kept and wanted to work on and everything.
Yeah.
Amazing. And just to be so consistent, too.
Yeah, again, it's good
where it's like you just had to finish up the tracks and it's still like accurate and like just it hits today. It's just
it really,
you know, chef's kiss, you know?
Yeah, I'm loving the piano and the spoken word stuff on The Meadow. That was a really nice closing to this EP. In particular, the demo tracks Dead Ringer and Jesus Hive, which are now called Brown Recluse and A Cloud, A Cauldron, A Colony, have both been embellished and fleshed out for this EP. I mean, you can definitely tell that these are like echoes of Sawtooth's past sound, but once again, I think all of this shit has just like clearly withstood the test of time. It was definitely worth finishing this batch of tracks.
Holy fuck, absolutely. Even the first track where you hear like the lower production drums kind of kick in, you're like... What? And then all of a sudden, just the real production kind of kicks in afterwards.
Well, yeah, it's just drums coming in, I think.
Yeah, but it's like a little lower volume, and it seems like it's almost like the older drums. It sounds like the older drums in a way. You know, it's almost like they started the older recording of the demo or something like that, and then went forward.
All that being, John Carroll definitely lends himself wonderfully to this record. I mean, there's a few original parts that have been like changed up in a way that is... It's still very complimentary, though. I mean, you can tell that he definitely, like, you know, switched it up ever so slightly. But the songs have also been changed. Mostly the end of those two tracks, Dead Ringer and the Jesus Hive, which are going to have new names, they've got completely new endings. And again, they kind of switch the tempos up here and there. Jay, is definitely probably behind most of that because I think he did the arrangement with John. But yeah, otherwise... Jay also adding some really nice texture to these tracks, some like different guitar leads that weren't there before. Great production from Kevin Antarisian of the Dillinger Escape Plan and Knife the Glitter, and now Sawtooth.
Mm-hmm.
What a great fucking pedigree this band has, just production wise and player wise, from Carol to Kevin to Jay to Rich. It's just like, it's a dream team lineup right
absolutely.
now.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And fucking DJ is one of the best bassists in metal, dude. He is like constantly in the pocket.
I just feel like a lot of bands out there have been like, oh hey, we got old stuff, here it is. But this, I mean, you could have not mentioned it and it would just feel to me like it's fresh new Sawtooth, you know what I'm saying? They could have had us fooled.
Under the lens of better production, it still feels remarkably fresh for sure.
And it's just got the classic thing, just like Pervivore, just the names that they come out with these fucking EPs and releases. I love it. Just Jabberwocky's another one too. Just it's very Sawtooth.
It is very Sawtooth. And carrying on the inspired, I feel like lyrically maybe they weren't as standout as they've been post Good, or Good on rather. Like the lyrics and the subject matter for Good was really excellent, with just sort of being realistically revolving around parenthood, or just sort of older adulthood, or you know what I'm saying, like mm-hmm. the tail end of
yeah. There was a theme there that was pretty fucking unique, I feel.
And here we've got, apart from Rich not losing the sauce, there's a really, again, a satisfying lyrical continuity behind this project that's tied in with this bringing back these old tracks. If I may, I'll just read what his statement from the press release. Jabberwocky is about how distance and time reconcile the truth and lives. Let me try that again. Jabberwocky is about how distance and time reconcile the truth and lies of our lives into an accepted canon. We, as our own unreliable you know what? Fuck it. I'm not going to tell you what he says, but basically it's just about sort of...
It's like deep, dude.
Trying to like recall the past from an imperfect lens. You know, they're trying to like rework these songs with an imperfect memory of how it went, perhaps.
Yep.
How to play it.
Like, what was that joke again? How did it go? You might word it a little differently, but it's still funny at the end, you know?
Yeah. So unfortunately, though, I can't read it for you right now for whatever reason. But it's... we have you. Step right this way, they say to their younger selves. Anyway, if I had to give this a rating, I'd give it an 8 out of 10.
I'm coming out of 9. Fucking bring that shit.
If it was just a bit more material, I think it would have been maybe a little higher scoring for me. I mean, what else do you want from them, though? It's the Sawtooth Grin. It's just,
I'm grading it on a banger EP. That's what I'm grading.
You're making
it
me
on.
Feel guilty right now. I'm going to give them a 9, too.
There we go. You're cheating off my homework, dog. Shit. Yeah, right. I like that though.
Every track is good though. I mean, I can't really like tell you one track is better than the other. If you like the reimaginings, I think Brown Recluse was the better one.
Brown Recluse, The Meadow are my two faves.
The Meadow is great too. Mm-hmm. It's nice to hear them try some new shit once again.
Yep.
But I think we should give them the opening track though. It's really nice to hear that track, Dead Ringers.
Oh, and they like just redone. Bust right in. You got to see how the EP starts.
Yeah,
know?
Phenomenal drumming. Yeah. Drumming on the opening of that track. So we're going to play for you Brown Recluse, which is track one from the Sawtooth Grin's new EP, Jabberwocky. And that came out on March 15th. Here we go. We'll be right back. daytime special. And we're back.
Yeah, we're back.
We're back, folks.
We're talking about anime.
We gotta bring back Anime Cast. Elaine, you gotta bring back the anime. We've been talking about that for so fucking long. We'll do it eventually. I miss doing it. We had a really funny conversation just now.
While just
we
go ahead and tell. Just tell everybody what I just said. Just tell everybody what I said.
Levi thought, this is adorable, by the way, he thought that Dragon Ball Z and Pokemon were the same thing.
No, not the same. Well,
you thought that you were conflating the two things.
Well, yeah, you gotta catch them all. I thought you gotta catch them all.
First of all, there's a problem with that language you're using, catch, because you don't really catch the Dragon Balls per se. You locate the Dragon Balls, then you can, once you've collected all seven, I think, or is it nine? You collect all seven, and then you make your wish.
But isn't the Pokemon dragon saying you gotta catch them all?
The 100% yes is the goddamn Pokemon, and you know it is. You're just playing dumb. He's playing dumb right now.
No.
You're gaslighting me.
No. Christian, come on.
All right.
I know the things that you know. Come on, bud.
Dragon Ball Z, completely different than Pokemon. I mean, there's really no... They're both... Oh, God damn it. There's a bit of a collection element, and there's a fighting element to both of them, too.
I will be honest with you, though. I did think they were the same thing. I thought it was the same. I pulled the thing.
Yeah, one is more martial arts based, and the other is just more, I don't know what. Leave it at that.
Well,
the Japanese are very good at marketing to children.
Yeah, all right.
That much is clear. Because they've got my ass from age fucking six on.
I really thought it was the same thing, though. I thought the Pokemon had like the balls. You know, like the Pikachu had the balls
there
or something
is,
like that.
There's Pokeballs. So yeah,
there's Pokeballs. That's what.
God, you're really presenting a good case for why somebody could reasonably get this confused.
There it is. Okay. All right. Do you know what?
I really wanted to insult you, but
no. Do you know what? I like that. I like that we're kind of meeting in the middle here. I'm an idiot, and you're accepting that I'm an idiot. There, it's good.
No, I give you credit, bud. You learned how to read in 2008, but you know, I helped him learn how to read.
There's so many letters, dude. It's so fucking crazy.
I won't let that die. I'm sorry.
God.
Anyways, so yeah, yep. Let's close that track out. So that was Brown Recluse, which is track one from Sawtooth's new EP, Jabberwocky, and that came out back on March 15th. Banger.
Yeah, fucking awesome. I mean, it's... I know it's going on my best of EP thing. I mean, it's going to have to. And I
undoubtedly, same.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It'll be cracking my top 10. Spoiler. So next, we're going to talk about Lou Kelly. And Lou Kelly is a solo extreme music artist from Ukiah, California. Also of the one-off project Zelophilia, that many of you may remember. Also the vocalist of The World is Quiet Here. And lastly, formerly the bassist of my band back in the day, Antarctica.
As well, we had a lovely interview with him when...
Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, we interviewed him, I think, back in... Last year,
yep.
Yeah, back in March of last year. So if anyone wants to hear that after you listen to this, he's a very interesting fellow. Great backstory. We get into his whole musical history from like childhood, basically.
Yep.
Because I've known this kid since he was a teenager, I think. Anyway, so he just dropped his new solo album, Never Was, on March 10th. And Lou has been extremely prolific in his musical output between Zelophilia and this project, releasing music under multiple monikers spanning numerous genres of music, all of it with a sort of a unifying tinge of his certain brand of whimsy and theatrics that are very much on par, I'd say, with Mr. Bungle, your Sleepy Time Gorilla Museums.
Yes.
And just like a staggering number of LPs. An LP a year since 2015 is basically what it amounts to. With five different releases in 2019 alone.
Not only we talked about this a million times, and in the interview, go back. It's a very fun interview, but what you hear is what the voice is that speaks. Lou has a very low register, but
worth noting, his voice is organic. That's how it sounds.
So fucking unique. But I want to say, with this record specifically, he really does have some very unique versions of his lows. There's that like gravelly one that he does that I don't know exactly how that happens.
A bit more vocal fried of that.
Yeah, vocal fried. Yeah. It just there's so much going on. The haunting, more spooky, I would say almost like Tim Burton-esque.
Thank you for saying that. Like, it's like a Nightmare Before Christmas core.
Fucking Hollow Memories towards the end. It's like, hollow, hollow, hollow memories. Thank you. Hollow, hollow, hollow memories. I was like, what the fuck, dude? Like,
get out of my notes, bro. Get out of my notes.
It was so good, dude.
All those things are exactly verbatim, practically, what I had in my notes regarding that particular track. It's very, it's definitely giving Jack Skellington.
And then death, then like there's a track, like I think it's like a track or two after that, Death Incarnate, where it's just
great track.
Just comes out just very strong, energetic, kind of like punk kind of feel, a little more hardcore.
Yeah, that,
like,
there's a two-step part
like,
too.
It's like, it's almost like, you know, you're waiting for the guitarist to like do this like circle pit sign, you know, like let's
yeah,
go,
there's
let's
a
go.
Lot
like,
more you know, yeah. There's a lot more metalcore, hardcore, like pilled, coated, if you will, stuff on this release for sure. He's definitely bringing it to a realm that is more like accessible, I want to say. It's almost like it's got the potential for being for hitting a bigger audience, if you will.
Absolutely. It still has that just that wackiness of just what he did before, like with Trash City and things like that, you mm-hmm. know. And yeah,
the Hollow Memories thing is also a recurring theme. It is a musical motif that appears on both the actual track, the first like real song of the album, if you will, because the first track is a bit of an intro. But when he goes into that second track, he also uses that Hollow Memories line at the end of it as like a sort of a sung part. It also appears again in the last track too, and it's the name of a track. So I'm sort of wondering why this album wasn't called Hollow Memories. Maybe it was just too on the nose though.
Yeah, maybe that. Yeah. But once again, I don't even want to start kind of breaking into the fucking head of what he is doing here, because it's pretty absurd, man.
Yeah, it is absurd, but it's incredibly good. Like, yeah, he is one of the most supremely talented musicians that I've ever met in underground music.
I mean, not only to be like this talented with your vocals and unique with your vocals, but you're producing them and making all that music too, you know? It's like, goddamn.
In a way, this feels like a logical continuation and maturation of the Zelophilia album too, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But it without the sass. Basically, we've lost all the daughters-isms have been dropped pretty much altogether. I mean, there's like still comes kind of like spoken word parts that pop in here and there, but
I see what you're saying.
That those elements are pretty much completely gone. With the exception of the track Mother Knows Best, I think that definitely could have been on a Zelophilia album.
Man, it's just, I think about this and just like, I was not expecting this at all for Lou to come out with this. You know, and it's just, it's a lot of content here. Even like lyrically, there's a lot of writing going on, man.
Yeah.
I mean, this fucking album is jam-packed.
Yeah, there's a lot of ideas.
Yep.
There's a lot of content.
It's not disorientating, though. I mean, there is a general kind of wacky path. It's almost like, you know, you're driving down the dark road. You know, you're like, there's a fork in the road, and you're like, I guess I'm going to go down that road. So, like, you kind of know where you're going with this, you know?
It's less angular and a bit more straightforward.
Yes.
You know, I would say. Yep. Like, it's not, like, super predictable, and there's still some kind of, like, some switch-ups that make it interesting here and there.
In no way is this, like, a challenging album to listen to.
No. You know what I'm saying? This is, like,
if anything, I take it with a grain of salt. It's wacky and fun in a way, where, I mean, just,
very
like,
much.
It's not like his vocals are comical, but it's just, like, they're so unique, and you're just, like, you're just gonna have a good time with the, like, where he's going with his register and everything, you know?
He could take this project on tour with Steak Sauce Mustache.
Absolutely.
My only complaint about this album is that some of the drum sounds are a bit low fidelity. There's this persistent cymbal in the right speaker that I found to be very distracting because it was a bit tinny.
Christian told me about this, and I was like, is he going to ruin this fucking album for me? But then when I listened to it in my headphones, I was like, I even texted him, I was like, I just don't hear what you
right
hear, and
speaker.
I'm actually kind of happy that I don't hear what you hear, because
right.
I'm enjoying this album a lot, actually.
It wasn't ruining the album for me, but it was distracting in some cases where it was a very like persistent cymbal, and it just wasn't a very high fidelity crash.
It wasn't a splash.
I think it's a crash. Whatever yeah. it is, it's in the right speaker, but I don't want to ruin... Don't fixate that on that like I did, but I just had to point it out. That was my...
I couldn't hear y'all. It's
truly,
fucking, yeah.
truly my only gripe about this album. There's so many fucking good tracks that I really thoroughly enjoyed from the second track. You know, again, that's like the true starter to Death Incarnate, which is a bit more like moshy, two-steppy, to Cadavers, which I think that's ultimately my favorite track, actually. Sort of sounding like Mudvayne Dig on that track, actually.
Got it. I feel
you know
that.
What I'm saying?
Yep, absolutely.
There's a bit of a
new metal-y kind of thing going on there.
Kind of a, yeah, definitely. Back to, you know, this album being a bit more accessible just overall. I think that's, that track is specifically kind of evident. Lamb of God, even.
I was a sucker for Hollow Memories. That was my, that was mine.
That's definitely more of a melodic cut. That I, we can't play that for our listeners, but I enjoyed that for sure.
I do want to say Welcome Home was an amazing closer. Just, you know, chill start with a big fucking finish at the end, you know? Mm-hmm. Solid.
Also, the track Cutters, quite good, too.
Yep.
But, yeah.
Lou's getting an 8 for me.
8 as well.
Yep.
100%.
Mm.
Yeah, easily. I mean, definitely, those fucking cymbals bothering the shit out of me, but ultimately, really well-written album. Like, he's just got so much talent and range for so many different styles of music. So what are you thinking, Levi? What should we give him here?
Well, if we're not doing Hall of Memories, I don't think Death Incarnate, which is another of my favorite. It's just a great punky kind of energetic like start to it. But I think you need to choose something else, man. I don't think the closer is the one. Let's not do Cutters.
Let's give him Cadavers then.
Okay. Cadavers. Like it.
I really did enjoy that track.
We'll meet in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to go ahead and play for you Cadavers, which is track 8 from, what is this goddamn album called? Never Was, which came out, Luke Kelly's new solo album that just came out on March 10th. Here we go.
White and cosmic and wild flesh, with grills of in your life, I saw what's wild.
All right, so that was Cadavers, which is off Lou Kelly's new solo album, Never Was, which came out back on March 10th. So next, we're going to talk about Professor Caffeine and the Insecurities.
Woo!
And Professor Caffeine and the Insecurities are a progressive metal outfit from Boston, Massachusetts. We covered the band back in 2018 when they released their video game EP, which I enjoyed, and I know is still in Levi's rotation.
Still to this day, man, I fucking love that shit. Star Fox.
Yeah, it was really just sort of some great, catchy, idiosyncratic prog with a lot of, like, just, like, nerdy elements that are kind of irresistible to someone like myself. I don't know.
And just like that, let's continue on with the tradition here with this fucking album, man. They have not skipped a fucking step.
Thank you.
I mean,
they
have not.
Just to quickly get this out of the way, they dropped their debut.
It's good! No.
It is. It is really good. So they just dropped their debut self-titled full-length on March 1st, which is quite a statement, but, you know, considering the material on this LP and the fact that they've been a band for 9 years, I think it's fully justified. These songs really do, like, represent them.
It's an epic ride.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like they've been working on a novel this whole time, and it just, like, it's finally released, that whole thing.
Right. There feels like there's, like, lore behind the band already, basically.
Mm-hmm. Extremely, the whole project is just, every member does their little part. The vocals are top-notch.
Instrumentals are fucking instrumentals, really, really good.
Lyrical content is really, like,
there's no screaming. It's all singing.
Yeah, to sort of, like, get little, that out of the there's way. There's a little, like, he gets to that, like, you know, sometimes.
There's no harsh
bit,
vocals.
But there's no harsh. No, there's no, like, there's no get down to the floor, that kind of get the fuck up, that kind of thing, you know?
Not that
yeah.
That's an issue, but, like, this is really a similar sound. The vocal register is just, like, that Coheed and Cambria, like, Cedric Bixler, Zavala, kind of, like, very high register.
We got some heavy riffage going on.
Riffage.
Almost kind of a breakdown once or twice,
yeah.
Kind of, you know? So, like, you know, we're kind of, like, 4 years strong with the breakdowns in a way, you know? That kind of thing. But
or Periphery minus the... Or Protest the Hero is another kind of comparison that I would readily make about this band.
Just like the EP from back in the day in 2018 to this one, right out the door, fucking just kick open it. Just, like, it's so... this
epic.
Band is... It's epic. It's, like, operatic. In a way, I feel like this could just, like, you could tell me, for anybody out there that knows the project, Say Anything, you know, and then Say Anything, he had that whole the famous album It's a Real Boy, right? Where that is, like, a story
is a real
full
boy.
Fucking is a real boy, thank you. Where, you know, it's like a whole, like, thing. I feel like this is, when I listen to Professor Caffeine and the Insecurities, I feel like this album specifically should be like a storybook tale going on, you know?
Right. It's pretty much exactly the move you want to see from a band this size, who's just dropped only
the
a couple
size,
of EPs.
There we go.
To like drop a project that is so well conceived and true to the sound that it warrants, again, calling it their self-titled album. Like, again, as much as they're like progressive metal, they really do bring this like broad range of rock and math rock, post-hardcore, even like alt rock and pop.
Yes. This album has quite a few tracks, and one specific thing when Christian, you know, brought it up and we were going to put it on the list, I was like, dude, they just kept releasing singles. I was like, what are they doing? Like, what's happening here? Are they like, stop? And then they released it and there's like fucking damn near...
They didn't formally announce the album, but yeah, they dropped four singles shit in the press cycle up to this release, yeah.
Yep. When you look back in the album artwork of like the thumbnails and everything, you're like, oh, okay, I see that.
And I think that it was a pretty short release cycle. I think it was all within 2 months of... another, so I kind of felt like it was all happening fast. Maybe it was more spread out, I just don't remember correctly.
Yeah, it's within a few months for sure.
Either way, I wasn't expecting, I mean, I should have been reasonably expecting the full length, but yeah, they didn't announce the single, they didn't announce the album after four singles.
I believe, with the vocals, the falsetto.
It's not falsetto, he's just very high, almost alto range.
Tenor. Really?
Yeah.
Damn. It hits my ears so fucking well. I really do enjoy it. Very
excellent vocals.
So
it's
consistent.
One of the best features, and very consistent, agreed.
Yep.
This is also sort of bordering on accessible as well, with like Dope Shades and Unreal Big Fish.
Yeah.
They almost have like a a Ready for Cinema feel to it. Like you could see them fitting in on an original soundtrack or something, especially with that part that's like Yep. You know, it's like, there's like little like oohs and a couple
of
tracks.
The thing is, the with that as well, I feel the keyboard work here really adds to this like movie epic kind of where it really could fit into a lot of things. It's just overall, man, it takes everyone in this project to make this happen. And you can tell there's like amazing back vocals going on as well, you know. It's so like for tracks that really grab me, the singles really kind of were the ones that were grabbing me by the boo-boo. Agreed. Right away.
That's a chunky
as fucking.
The riffs on that one are really, really nice.
The Spins is super fucking epic how it opens up. But goddamn, what
Wolfang Fist is the other one that I enjoyed quite a bit.
Wolfang Fist.
That was kind of like math core-ish on the bridge for that track too.
But sir,
Dope Shades is the song that I was thinking of with the hoo-hoos on the backing vocals. That's like a very 80s like sitcom theme kind of sounding song.
If I was to try to sell you my elevator pitch on Professor Caffeine and Insecurities, I would send you the opening track.
Yeah.
Brockton Panda. Where it's like...
It's quite good.
It's like that right there.
Perfect and powerful introduction to this album.
Motherfucker, dude. It is exactly... And I want to say, and please give me a second, on the video game EP, this is exactly how he starts the track Daisy, where just it starts with just him. It's pretty fucking catchy, and you can hear the band just kind of warm up behind. And by the end of that first short track, it just builds up, and you are ready for it. And the thing is, between track one and two, if you notice at the end of that Brockton Panda, you can hear those little kids chanting. Mm-hmm. It's the start of the record. Everybody's shirt is like, that's so fucking good.
Yeah, so many nice little touches just like that that make this an excellent record. From start to finish, so fun. Just a great listen.
Yep, agreed.
Very fun. Yeah, and also, again, I just think that The prerequisite for any band contemplating calling their album the self-titled album should just probably coincide with it being like the most true to the project statement that you could make, and I think that they nailed that.
Man, I'm gonna say it right now, it's a fucking 9 for me.
I'm gonna give it an 8. I like it a lot, but I'm not like in love with the style, and I think that's probably just more of a personal bias. I did enjoy it quite a bit, though.
Yeah, I wasn't even like a big Coheed and Cambria fan back in the day.
I liked a couple tracks, but
this is just really well done. I really love just how epic it is.
Yeah, it really is epic, especially like holding.
It's mathy as fuck at points too. Come on, you
it is. Agree, yeah, 100%. Again, that's a chunky. It's got some pretty mathy sequences. Wolfang Fist has got kind of a math core intensity on that staccato part.
That's a chunky. That's a definitely an I think you should leave reference, which is fucking
it
top notch.
It is 100%. Make Like a Tree and Leave. Also, that track
that's so good, dude.
Yeah, it's also like such an effectively multi. It's so effectively multi-phase that it itself feels like a microcosm of the album. If that makes sense, whoa. It's like a miniature album on the album.
What
with how many like. Unique parts there are on that track.
You know what? It might have been the joint we just smoked, but that's fucking brilliant.
I'm glad that it makes sense.
Yep.
Because when I was reading it from my notes, it wasn't necessarily...
It sounds crazy, right?
I'm like, did I write that? I don't remember.
This episode is brought to you by marijuana.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, yeah, super good though. I did enjoy this quite a bit. I would say that Wolfang Fist is probably the track we should give our listeners.
God damn, really?
Either that or That's a Chunky.
No, we can't. We already talked about That's a Chunky. We gotta give him. We gotta throw him the curveball with the Wolfgang one then.
Okay, so we're gonna play. Oh yeah, we got ratings right. Yes, so Marijuana. So we're gonna play Wolfang Fist, which is track 2 from Professor Caffeine and the Insecurities' self-titled debut full-length album that came out on March 1st. Here we go.
Show your teeth as you close the end.
All right, so that was Wolfgang Fist, which is track two from Professor Caffeine and the Insecurities' debut self-titled full-length album that came out on March 1st. So next, we're going to talk about Nurture Nurture.
Ooh, look at the emo going on here.
Levi, I could have said, we're going to talk about the dog shit sandwiches, and you would have been like, ooh.
Or I might have been like, delicious. I might do that too.
That's true. You do? Okay, that's fair. You gotta,
it's one or the other, though. Yeah. One or the other.
You have your two standby.
Girl!
The always reminds me of the Skeksis from The Dark Crystal, which I know is a meaningless reference to you.
I was going to say, I'm like, oh, tell me more.
Surely somebody who is in their late 30s / early 40s will appreciate that reference.
Is that a Pokemon? No, I'm sorry.
is that Goku? Or is that Pikachu?
Yeah, I get so confused sometimes.
Not Japanese, American.
Nurture.
Yeah, so it's a math rock solo project from St. John, New Brunswick.
It always blows my mind when I think about it that it is a solo project.
It is now. Formerly, yes. he had a drummer, but you know they parted ways, yep. And so since parting ways, though, it hasn't affected the quality of the output, nor the rate at which he's releasing stuff.
Style is extremely similar to like the last EP.
Yes, it feels like a continuation. I know we've been saying that a lot with a lot of these conversations, but once again, so he's back with his new EP, Emergence, which came out on March 1st, exactly 1 year following the release of the last EP, Cynicism. And yeah, again, it's the same emotive math rock with glitchy electronic elements.
Amazing use of inserts before, during, after a track. Damn near, I want to compare this this project to an emo version of Kill Whitney Dead. This is how well they manage their fucking their inserts and samples and everything, man.
Yeah, I don't know what that's like, from. It's from Yu-Gi-Oh, but the whole friendship speech for
so good, dude.
For track two, really quite good. Birdman, that Michael Keaton movie.
Yep. Yeah, that's the
bird. Which is a great fucking track. I think that's probably ultimately one of my favorite ones, second favorite at least. Also, I love the fact that he's experimenting again with every release. There's more experimentation with Nurture Nurture, be it, you know, the last release we saw the introduction of these kind of like glitchy,
yes,
almost like chiptune kind of elements.
I want to really say as well that the vocal styling has really,
that's what I was just about to say, it's that's progressed too
into that emo kind of side, the what, you know, thing going on, like it's
more from the last release, you know, plus screaming. There's now
absolutely
prominently screaming on a couple tracks, like on track three it's called Hustle Culture, not Hustle Community.
Yep.
And track six, You Liked My Story, That Means You Love Me.
All these are really good.
I love all those song titles. Yeah, that's possibly the most dynamic song on the EP, by the way. And with the bridge when those synths come in just goes crazy. That is so catchy.
One of my favorite tracks, I know it might not be yours, First Edition,
yes,
Halo.
That is absolutely
Charizard?
My favorite track, yeah.
Did I say Charizard?
Yeah, Charizard, yeah. Charizard. That's a Pokemon reference, if you didn't pick up on that.
I did not.
Yeah, loving the more spoken word type passages there for sure. Like, the beginning of that track definitely hits. It's like he took notes from Dan Smith of Listener.
This, the references, once again, the inserts. But overall, I'm a sucker for this glitchy, poppy-ish, techie,
almost kind of lo-fi, even.
Lo-fi,
like
yes. But also just mathy as fuck. Super technical still. I really, really enjoy it, man.
Not as technical as some of the other stuff, I would argue, but that's sort of neither here nor there in terms of affecting my enjoyment.
I would say technical just as far as like, yeah, just if this is a solo project, I feel like the technicality is
there. I would describe it as math rock.
Hey,
leave it at
there
that.
There it is.
Don't need to pick it apart too much. But yeah.
Is this mathcore?
I would. God damn it. But yeah, First Edition, Holo Charizard. Loving the spoken word there for sure. I think that's the track, actually. I would give this a 7 out of 10, by the way.
8. I love it. I kept going back to this one. I'm going to keep going back to it.
Do I need to copy you and give it an 8, too?
You can copy again. It's fine, dude.
I might give it an 8 too.
Honestly, I feel like I just I think it's super unique. Now, here's my thing for my album of the years. Are we calling this an EP?
Yeah, it's an EP.
Fair enough. Okay, I believe you. It's 15 minutes long. You know, 7 tracks, right?
It's concise and, you know, under 10 tracks, under 20 minutes. So
okay, yeah. EP it is.
So we're gonna go ahead and play for you First Edition Hollow Charizard, which is track 5 from Emergence, which is Nurture Nurture's new EP. They came out on March 1st. Here we go.
Ideology comes over me, dark clouds of conformity, big lawns and lake houses, post-secondary toiletries. Abandon your dreams like every Netflix, something naughty, thank God. I've been saved by stoic philosophy, astrology for dead wife, pedophiles, and dogma. Intersectionality, so don't cross me, I'm above it. Swing sets and lending your headphone to a friend. You're in my shower, here comes the underdog. Night's always acting with streetlights fading in. Can you remember when we could play pretend? It seems profoundly soulless grown-up job on offer. I don't need to see HP explosions. I don't want to drink all day. Don't want to spend my life alone, nearly remembering how we played. Pokemon cards on hot asphalt, make-believe deep in the woods. Lust after every girl who passes us. Feel so damn misunderstood.
Damn, I feel good after that fucking track.
Right? Uplifting. Feel good math rock for sure. All right, so that was... Sorry, I need to find my place in my notes here. That was First Edition Hollow Charizard, which is track 5 from Nurture Nurture's new EP, Emergence, which came out on March 1st. So last, we're going to talk about Clock Tower.
X, Clock Tower X.
Thank you.
You son of a bitch.
Getting to that. It's stylized for our listeners as X, Clock Tower X, straight edge band. And Clock Tower features members of Balamora. And they just dropped their... Fucking A, dog. 1 second, sorry. And they just dropped their debut EP... Greatest Hits Volume 2.
Ah, yes. You sons of bitches.
Which is so good. Which they released via the Connecticut-based label and zine Ephyra on January 25th. And there's a bit of an off-the-wall vibe. And as much as they are definitely just having a fucking laugh with this one, they sort of like are setting themselves out to be unserious about it. You can probably tell that they really do have a love for the MySpace era.
Song titles alone are going to be telling you that for sure.
There's the samples, the obnoxiously screeched inhales, the spoken word parts, and a ridiculous amount of sub drops.
Yep.
In every breakdown.
Lots of blasting going on there too.
Lots of blasting.
Yep.
This band is kind of just fucking proof that if you just, like, let go and have fun, it'll probably yield better art. Like, I can think of so many quote unquote joke bands that are just like fucking. In retrospect, I love going back and listening to it for the fun factor.
Yep, agreed, agreed. It's a
Force the Band and Tenacious D being my two favorite examples.
It's like three songs, 3 minutes long, fucking
three basically. Songs, 4 or 5 minutes four or five long minutes with long. The samples. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That first sample has been used many other times in many other things. But
you got the Pesci. You know, you got to get them in there.
The Joe Pesci fucking sample never, it doesn't not hit. It just always
fucking hits. It's good.
Yeah.
The whole movie was good. I mean, it is what it is. This is short and sweet.
There's not a lot to talk about
here. No, and I mean, especially with, like, I mean, the whole jokey side.
It's just moshy as fuck and a great throwback. And again, they're not taking it too seriously, but the fun factor is there. The song title, Our Other Band Is Better. You should listen to that. which is my favorite track, by the way.
My favorite track is Spontaneous Proverb, the Haunted Moment. God damn it. It lasts, which is the last track of this amazing EP. But overall, though, just for the for what I, how about this? I would grade, if we're like for jokey stuff, like the quality of it, I give it a 7. But overall, just like we're talking the EP, same. I'm giving actually a 6. I'm giving it a 6.
Okay.
Just, you know, sure. It is what it is. Just fucking 3 tracks. It's like fucking, it's
well, not the if I really want to nitpick the production, it's not good.
It's whatever.
The vocals are inhales, so they're, you know, deduct points for that, too, if you really want to get, like, super critical about
it. I'm not deducting anything.
It's just fun, though. It is. It's a fun, quick listen. You can blast through this in 5 minutes or less and always get...
I just once again back to the whole their first release, but it's volume 2, and it just like you sons of bitches.
What's so funny is that they're making a name for themselves online with their show, because they pretty much just deconstruct their entire live setup during the first song. So their kit and the amp is the guitars have been broken within the first song, basically.
Love it.
Or I'm not sure if they'll, well, whatever, that happened during their set. They destroy their shit, so. You know, it's so funny. Also, the song title, Our Other Band Is Better, you should listen to that instead. First of all, don't tell me what to do. Secondly, I unironically like this more. And I don't know what that says about me, but that's just the way it is.
Yo, I think they fucking got you. Hook, line, sinker.
No, I just got them.
Nope. No, you got got. You got got. You got yeah. Got. Well done, clockwork. I like what you guys did here. All right, you fooled us.
Wait, what just happened? Yeah, got. The old switcheroo.
Clock Tower, it's good. If they keep producing more stuff, it'll be a good time.
I would love to hear more from this, even though it's kind of like a joke project. I hope they do. Legitimately hope they put out another EP. It's fun.
Yep. Six.
If they're gonna keep playing shows, it conceivably would, you know, it would make sense to fucking to put out more music behind it, right?
Yep. Yep. Overall, 6 out of 10 for me, and I'm gonna say Spontaneous Proverb for the tracks for myself.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. We're gonna wrap it up here.
Yeah, we're almost done anyway. So. Yep. Ooh, did I already close out the track?
Nope, not yet.
Do we play the track yet? We didn't. So, okay. So we're going to go ahead and play for you Our Other Band Is Better. You should listen to that instead, which is track 2 from Greatest Hits, Volume 2, which is Clock Tower's debut EP, which came out back in January via Ephyra. And we had to do it. We just had to include this one because it's just a lot of fun.
It's good.
Yeah, why not? Here we go. Alright, so that was Our Other Band Is Better, You Should Listen to That Instead, which is track 2 from Clock Tower's new EP, debut EP, Greatest Hits Volume 2, which came out back in January. So last, I'm going to give you a little bit of news. Just a quick news roundup here before we part ways. Steak Sauce Mustache just dropped a new single. First single with their new drummer.
Hey, hey, welcome, welcome.
And they're back gigging again. They've got a tour coming up here soon as well. Grey Haven had just signed with Solid State Records.
Fuck yeah!
That's a get. And they just announced their new EP, Stereo Grief, which will be out on April 12th. And the first single is out as well, Welcome Party. Definitely along the lines of their last LP, they're kind of sticking more towards this like melodic metalcore approach. They've sort of like dropped, much like The Armed, you know, they're moving away from their mathcore roots. Do you listen to that band at all, Grey Haven?
Nope.
We did cover them.
We covered them. Yep, yep. I mean, I follow them on Instagram and everything. Yep, yep. Just, yeah, nope.
Fair enough. Coalesce, Better Lovers, From a Second Story Window, The Bled, Under Oath, Poison the Well, and many more on the final Furnace Fest lineup.
My head hurts.
A lot of good bands, notably No Dillinger.
Honestly, you named everything else. Fuck it. Whatever.
I would definitely go, yeah. Coalesce, Better Lovers, the From a Second Story Window, for sure, right there. Would love to see Under Oath. Never seen them before. It's also the final Furnace Fest, too, so if you live in that area, I would definitely hit that up. Godmother have just announced a new single. Sinicide, which is out on May 10th. A new single, a new EP out on May 10th. Fall 50 Feet have just dropped a new single, Hole, their first single featuring guitarist Anthony of Destination Dimension. It's very grungy.
Yeah, like an alternative grungy kind of side going on there a little bit, for sure.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of their side project, Jim's other band. I can't remember what it's called right now, but it featured him and Eli from Dying Whale, who's also the current drummer of the band. Yeah, sounding also a bit like their earlier manifestation in a way, too, to me. I don't want to call this single a regression, but I'm not quite as keen on it, if I'm being completely honest. Did you hear it?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to say anything. Yep, absolutely. Yep, I agree with you. It's just, it's not what I was expecting. I just enjoyed the old Fall 50 Feet and everything like that.
Yeah, I wish
you know?
They... Yeah, I didn't enjoy the last EP quite as much either, if I'm being honest. I love Twisted World Perspective. I thought that was really good and moshy.
I love their moshy side, and I really love their singy vocals. I just want more of that.
When they leaned into the post-hardcore stuff, I felt like that was a bit stronger than this kind of like grunge alt-rock thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
But that's me. I mean, also, there's probably a larger release behind this, so I'm looking forward to hearing it either way, because I do enjoy it.
I'm guessing this is going to be a directional turn for them.
More than likely, especially if they're not going to continue on with that side project.
Yep.
Speaking of Better Lovers, they hit the road next month with CU Space Cowboy, Grey Haven, and Foreign Hands, but sadly not the Bay Area. Boo.
Damn.
Very sad.
I thought with CU Space Cowboy, maybe we might have a little Bay Area action there, but nope.
Nope, they're going to SAC this time. So.
Ah, well, all right. Yeah, Central generally gets a little bit more, but it's all good.
So that's it. That's all I got for news.
Okay, there it is.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Yep, we got to keep it a little short here. We got a little notification that we got a little memory shortage here on the computer here. So we got to.
Levi's computer is running out of memory. So yeah, we're going to wrap it up here.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Fucking
so
it,
I guess,
a good one.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. So I guess that about wraps it up for the 113th episode of MathCast. I'm your host, Christian.
And I'm your co-host, Levi.
And we'll be back in a couple weeks with some more sick underground bands. Good night and stay beautiful.